The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Doing nothing but running this mind. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. We keep talking about how there are a few positions that the Packers need to address still. And yet, you got to feel pretty good about the starting lineup that the Packers are trotting out there on both sides of the ball, at least right now, with the players that they have. And when we look at the offense, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like last year was perfect. I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, I only remember the good stuff, rose-colored glasses, green and gold-colored glasses. Because there were some serious hiccups. There were some serious issues at times with the wide receivers, mostly because they were young. They're getting their feet under them, still trying to figure it out. But there were wrong routes, and there were dropped passes, and there were issues where guys were in the same spots, two receivers in the same spot, which you know means somebody bleeped up. But as the season went on, they really started to figure it out. And towards the end of the season, when the Packers were making their run, when they were in the playoffs, they looked like a totally different unit from the first few weeks, and especially October, where we all talk about was their toughest part of the schedule and of the stretch. If you had to pick your favorite two wide receivers, the two guys that you want out there on the field the most, who you hope will get the most snaps, I happen to think it's a luxury to have so many guys that you can kind of work in and out, that you can manage those rotations. But you got Christian Watson, you got Romeo Doubs, you got Bo Melton, you got Jaden Reed, you got Dontavian Wicks, you got Malik Heath, and you got Samori Torre. When is Torre expected back?
I don't know.
Isn't he injured? No?
I believe he was just healthy and active. I think he's just the odd guy.
And the funny thing with all those guys, Torre could probably be a number four on most teams, maybe a number three on some teams.
That was the plan until they drafted a bunch of good ones.
So my two, projecting forward, the problem, it's not a problem, but one of them has to develop into a 1A. They're all kind of the same person right now with the same kind of skills. And what I think is going to happen, hopefully what happens is they go into training camp and say, all of you are competing for, we're ranking you, 1, 2, 3. 3 is going to be your zebra, you know, we're going to go from there. If they do that, how I think it plays out, I think it's Reed and Wicks. I think it's Reed and Wicks. And Watson, and I'm very suspect of him going to a specialist. I don't know what let's inject some goat semen into your hamstring, see if that helps. Hamstring's a hamstring. I don't think that thing's going to get any better, so he's going to remain a one-trick pony because he's not a great route runner. He makes plays. He's starting to use his body more and make plays down the field, but I think he's more of a three, maybe a two. But I'm putting Reed at Z, which catches your most balls. I think Wicks will come out of this as two. Doubs will be your zebra. Watson will be, this is a big year for him. He cannot play 6 games or 8 games or whatever. You have to play the whole season if he wants to be effective. And then you add guys like Bo Melton, who's going to compete, Malik Heath, who's going to compete, and I don't know about Torre. So it's going to be a battle. If I believe they'll do it correctly, they'll say, all right, we're battling. And then from the tight end standpoint, I do the same, but I kind of like Kraft more than I like Musgrave.
So you don't think that they're going to be in 12 personnel? I think they're going to be in 12 personnel more often than not.
I think they're going to, what drives a defensive coordinator nuts is when you constantly change personnel. Right? Two tight ends, two receivers, one back.
And they have that luxury.
Two tight ends, one receiver, two backs. They have that luxury, and especially with the Josh Jacobs, who now, you know, we said it earlier, where Aaron Jones was your outside runner, A.J. Dillon was your inside runner. Now you have a guy that can do both, so you can cover the whole field. So, yes, I mean, I see them changing up personnel a lot. 5 wides, 4 wides, 1 back. Yeah. It's going to be, this training camp is going to be so interesting just because there are going to be so many battles going on.
So Teddy from Watertown weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, realistically, they have four number twos. And that's your biggest gripe with the roster right now, is that there are a bunch of guys who can do a lot of things, but that they don't have a number one guy. Do you think that they go out and get a number one guy?
No.
Or okay, so this is the group, and that somebody will emerge as the one. Man, I got to tell you, the way that Jaden Reed finished the season, it's like he wanted the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Good luck keeping him off the field. Good luck as you're running this 12 personnel, which we were talking about earlier. And for those who aren't familiar with what a 12 personnel is, it's one running back and two tight ends. Good luck keeping Jaden Reed off the field. So I don't know if that's some combination of Christian Watson and Jaden Reed, if it's Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed, if it's Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed, but I can't imagine a situation where you're putting one of the most explosive guys who showed that he can play from everywhere off the field.
What I'm hoping for Reed is he's, I'll just call him Davante Adams light. And I think that's what they're projecting. They're sitting there going, we may have our next Devontae. I don't know if he's going to be as good, but he's trending in that direction. And then they love Wicks. I mean, Wicks made a ton of plays. They're all raw. They're all going to get better. But I just hope they don't go into the season saying, well, Watson was an early second round pick, so we have to give him a shot. Throw that crap away.
But isn't there also some value in having him out there on the field as the decoy?
Yes.
Like it can't be as obvious that every time you roll Christian Watson out there into the personnel that, well, I guess we know what's happening here. You know, I that's the only thing about having the two tight ends. It restricts you at the wide receiver unless you're going to go empty backfield.
But, you
know, which they have done before.
But a nice thing, Jen, is these guys aren't getting all that much tread on their tires because you have so many of them. And,
rotation.
All right, you're playing 32 plays a game. You got 25. You got 38. You got 22.
Okay, as long as they all buy into that.
That's the problem, because with success comes ego.
Yes.
Comes ego. And then you have a guy saying, how come I only played 12 plays? I'm better than... That's the drama, and we love drama.
So that's what we're going to have to manage.
Well, from the tight end position too, right? I mean, if Kraft...
I guess the youth there, and again, maybe this is the advantage all the way across the board. I'm hopeful that they're still so young that the whole sum is greater than the parts thing, they've all kind of accepted that.
I think
like rising tide raises all boats.
I think you also have the advantage of... the way the offense is designed and the way it's play called, no one's going to be...
It's share.
Right. Nobody's going to be the guy who's catching Davante Adams-type balls. The problem is Jaden Reed is going to be a more manufactured touch guy. Like, I see him as Deebo Samuel. I see him as the most explosive, the guy who you're going to make sure, no matter what, the game's over, he has 7-8 touches. No matter what happened, because you're giving him the ball, you're giving him sweeps, stuff like that. I think the guy that gets open, though, and they're going to rely on is Wicks. I see him as clean route runner. He knows how to get open. He knows how to get off the line of scrimmage.
But that's fine. That's fine, Joshy. Up until the point it comes contract year.
Yes.
Yes.
Until it comes contract year.
And then you're going to want those numbers
then,
to back up.
Yes.
The paycheck.
So it's a dance. I mean, it can be done, but it is a dance.
And once the accolades start coming of Pro Bowls or, you know, I led the league in yards per catch, et cetera, that's when the drama can start, I suppose. But
because they're all going to be coming up around the same time.
Let me ask you this, too. Would you take a late round swing?
At a receiver?
You got a lot of picks.
Yeah, you got a lot of... I mean, they're pretty... They've got, what?
You know what I do?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They got 7 right now that can play. 7 that can play. They're not going to keep any more than 7. I mean, practice squad. They may only keep 6.
I find my Christian Watson replacement.
And trade him?
No. I'm saying I find a guy who I think can do things similar to him in terms of stretching the
field.
Just
in case.
Using his body, because he's proven thus far he's unreliable at that.
Now, they just don't make those you don't just grow on trees.
But what I mean by that is you look for athleticism. You look for big and fast, which there's a lot of big and fast guys out there. MVS did the Christian Watson role pretty well for a season. Like, you can find guys... Even if it's a guy you're not even that high on. Hey, we're going to need somebody for five games a year. That's just how it goes.
Would you be shocked if they traded him? Because Goody did say he's not opposed to moving guys around draft time.
Well, and wasn't the rumor him and Jonathan Taylor?
Uh-huh. Which the Packers rebuffed and then probably had regrets about. If we're to be honest about it.
But then do we have Josh Jacobs? If you've got Jonathan Taylor from that trade last year, do you go out and get Josh Jacobs?
No, of course not.
Is
no.
Aaron Jones still on the roster if you went out and got Jonathan Taylor last year? Ooh, boy, did we just flip through a choose-your-own-adventure book, land on a different ending. Did you ever read a choose-your-own-adventure when you were a kid?
No.
Never, ever? Well, it was a book, so yeah, I should.
I said read.
I watched the movies.
I think they tried to turn those into some sort of video game at one point where you could kind of like...
There was DVDs where you could choose.
I've never even heard of these.
Yes, yes.
Are they kids' books?
Yeah, they were kids' books. And at the bottom of the page, you had a decision to make. And the decision was, do you follow the wizard down the path or do you turn around and go back?
I kind of remember
And then you would flip ahead. It'd be like, go to page 64 for option one. Go to page 52 for option two. And you'd flip it and be like, sorry, you're dead. And you'd be like, well, I didn't really want that one. Change my mind.
I was a pop-up guy.
I'll follow the wizard.
I love the pop-ups.
Yeah, we thought that you were a Waldo guy, but you had never heard of Waldo
until
the other day. Are we doing a top 8 at 8 today? You got a top 8 at 8?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Pressure's on.
Probably going to do really well, huh?
Bad. I caught grief from my list yesterday, which was not warranted at all.
What do you mean you caught grief?
For my, what do I do on Tuesdays?
Your AI
power
list.
Rankings.
Oh my gosh. It was AI generated.
What's better than AI?
Me,
AI
my
is
brain.
AI is the best.
It's not the best.
All right.
It was just that one person on the list.
Jared
really...
Cook. He had a hell of a catch in Dallas.
Maybe that's what the AI saw.
Was it Sean Jones who had multiple All-Pros?
Houston. He didn't have one with us. Salad? No, I thought that list was solid. Can't go wrong with AI.
Potawatomi Casino Hotel has something bigger and better and bolder coming the first week of May. Mark your calendars, guys. It is the all-new Potawatomi Sportsbook venue. It is going to be open, and it is going to be fantastic. A 2,000-foot video wall, luxury seating for more than 200 people, an expanded food menu, and you guys are going to love this. There is also going to be a broadcast booth there, so you know that Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will be broadcasting live from Potawatomi Casino Hotel at various times throughout the year. Mark your calendars for the first week of May. It is the grand opening of the Potawatomi Sportsbook venue when sports betting in Milwaukee becomes like nothing you have ever seen before. Bet big and bet bold at Potawatomi Casino Hotel.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
No Gabe today to make the list, so Joshy is stepping in. What do we got?
I am looking for the 8 leading rushers in the NFL since 2019.
Mm.
2019 being... the rookie year for one Josh Jacobs.
I believe Josh Jacobs is on this list. Whoa, my screens just went black. They're back. That's weird. It's like a power surge. I believe Josh Jacobs is on that list. I believe he led the league two seasons ago.
Josh Jacobs is second on the list with 5,545 rushing yards.
Saquon.
Saquon famously suffered ACL injury.
I knew he was hurt a lot, but I thought he had one good year.
He's about 15 on the list. I don't have it organized, but he's only played 58 games in that time in comparison to people in the 70s and 80s.
I get a mulligan.
I believe Christian McCaffrey led the league last year.
Christian McCaffrey is seventh on the list with 4,652 rushing.
All right, one more.
Wait a minute. Seventh? So it's not going year by year?
No.
Oh, you put him in order. This is
number of yards.
This is the cumulative rushing yards. I'm not looking for the single leading rusher.
Oh.
I'm looking for put together all their rushing yards from 2019 to 2023.
Okay. I definitely thought you were looking for the leading rusher from each season.
Cumulative rushing yards.
Henry.
Derrick Henry is first with 7,200.
I'm actually a little bit nervous that Aaron Jones is going to be on this list, but I'm not going to take him as a guess quite yet. 2019.
Four seasons, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Math, chew, math.
I got one more.
Guess it.
Tony Pollard.
Don't love it.
I'm done. It's all you.
Can you reset the list for me?
Yes. There's one name on it.
No.
Sorry, there's two.
You guys got Derrick Henry, who's first.
That's a good stall.
Josh Jacobs, who is second.
And Christian McCaffrey's got to be on the list.
Seven, Christian McCaffrey is seventh. You're missing 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8.
I mean, so again, would Aaron Jones be on the list? I don't know. Hold on. How about Jonathan Taylor first?
Jonathan Taylor's 10th. At least he was in range.
Thank you. Crap. 800-990-3776. So over the last 4 years, you're just looking for the top eight.
Yes.
Running backs.
The guys who've had the most rushing yards in that
four-year span. That's a tough list.
Crap, Aaron Jones is going to be on the damn list. I should have just guessed Aaron Jones. 800-990-3776. Looking for your guesses to win our top eight at eight game. Over the last 4 years, we are looking for the guys who have the most rushing yards during that time. We got Christian McCaffrey. We got Derrick Henry. We got Josh Jacobs.
My process thing here isn't working, so John in Milwaukee, you are the first caller. Who do you got?
Nick Chubb.
How do we forget about Nick Chubb?
Nick Chubb is third on the list with 5,515.
Keep it going, John.
Keep it rolling.
Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler, scrolling, is in the 20s.
Is he really? Oh, he got hurt.
800-990-3776. Looking for callers to play top 8 at 8. We are looking for the guys who have had the most rushing yards over the last four seasons. We have McCaffrey. We have Josh Jacobs. We have Derrick Henry. And he just got who? Chew? Who did he just guess?
Nick Chubb.
All right, we're getting there. Mike and Franklin, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Can you reset it between the radio? I missed a couple, I think.
I sure can. It's Derrick Henry first, Josh Jacobs second, Nick Chubb third. You don't have fourth, fifth, sixth, and you do have seventh with Christian McCaffrey, or eighth.
How about Zeke Elliott?
Oh, gosh.
He's on?
I thought it was too
Zeke
old.
Elliott
I didn't think he had big enough seasons.
On the list.
Dalvin Cook.
Wow.
Delvin Cook is fourth on the list. You need number 5 and number 8.
Joe Mixon.
See, I thought those guys would have no chance because they didn't even play last year or hardly played. Zeke and
That's
Cook.
What I was thinking, too. They must have just had such big numbers the previous years.
Okay.
800-990-3776. Looking for the most rushing yards over the past four seasons. Let's go out to Tony in Waukesha. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
So I just want to be clear here. You said four seasons, but are we counting the 2019 season? Because that would be the last 5 seasons.
Yes, 5 seasons.
Oh,
the math got me again.
Yeah, every time.
19, 20, 21, 22, 23. 5
seasons.
Okay, so if it's the last 5 seasons, did someone say Aaron Jones?
No one has said
Not
Aaron
yet.
Jones.
That's all I'll say.
Aaron Jones is sixth on the list. We are just looking for the eighth.
I knew it. I guess Jonathan Taylor instead.
And then, I don't know, Le'Veon Bell. I know that's wrong, but...
Okay.
Josh, he's on the phone. Let's go out to John in Pewaukee. John in Pewaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list? Sounds like we only have one more to go, right?
Yeah, 8.
Okay.
Yeah, number 8. Well, he hurt us a little bit, but I'm going to guess David Montgomery.
Yeah, I was thinking.
When he was with the Bears.
Oh, he nailed it.
Congratulations, John. You are our big winner this morning. That was a good list. Once
that was
we got
tough.
Once we got the category figured out and once we got the math figured out, we were rolling. So what was it again? Give me the whole list of the guys who have had the most rushing yards over the last 5 seasons.
Yes, it is the NFL rushing leader since 2019. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Jones, Christian McCaffrey, and David Montgomery.
See, whenever you said the rushing leader, that's where my brain immediately went, who was the rushing leader for each season in the last 8 seasons?
The sense was informative there.
Yes.
That's a good list.
Well, spicy.
Good list. I'll give you a C.
A C?
Was it AI?
No, it's from math.
It's math. You add up the yards
no
from each
wonder
year.
I only got one. D's get degrees.
Was it AI? Oh, that was rich. We are rolling on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let me get you one of my reads. The madness is back, and so is your chance at proving your hoops knowledge. It's the ESPN Wisconsin Bracket Challenge. Ooh, the Bracket Challenge is back. Presented by Cousin Subs. Fill out a bracket, earn the most points at the end of the tourney, and get a 1,000 what? A $1,000 gift card to Cousin Subs? You know how many Cousin Subs you can buy with a grand?
That's a lot of subs.
Get ready to fill out a bracket on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app or on ESPN.com. It's the ESPN Wisconsin Bracket Challenge presented by Cousin Subs. They believe in better. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full rules and details. I'm going to guess I'm not eligible for this. I can't win the $1,000.
Cannot win $1,000, but I imagine you will be competing.
All right. I guess that's fair enough. Seems like a consolation prize, but $1,000 to win.
You're competing for pride.
Get to the ESPN Bracket Tournament Bracket Challenge app now. Enter your bracket. Win I guess you have to wait until the bracket is set.
Going to need to know who's there.
100%. Yeah. So this is just put a pin in it is what we're saying here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Marquette gets started in the Big East tournament tonight. Watched a very, very interesting game last night between DePaul and Villanova. DePaul, which, by the way, won 3 games this year, giving Villanova all it could handle last night. I actually thought DePaul was going to win the game just based on the way that things were going, and then Villanova went down and hit a 3 with like 2 seconds left in the game to win by 1. So they will play Marquette in Marquette's first game of the Big East tournament today. I believe there was news yesterday also about Tyler Kolek, saying that Marquette expects to get him back for the NCAA tournament. I don't know if it will be sooner than that, but I believe that's what the news was. So he is progressing, which will be good for Marquette, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. And like you were saying, Chu, like, you got to win a couple of games because you want to keep that 2 seed, right? You want to keep the 2 seed in the NCAA tournament?
Does it matter?
You're saying, I mean, it just depends.
Does it matter 2, 3? I mean, if you could, would you rest Kolek, not let him play in the tournament at all, and just wait till... to the big tournament, or would you ramp him up maybe? I think I would sit him, right?
I think you don't push him out there. I think you...
Like, if they
let
lose...
Him, just let him heal. Like,
if they lose tonight,
yes,
they're 3.
I think so. I think probably.
I don't think I'd play him. I really don't. Why?
Because you're saying that the difference between a two seed and a three seed in the NCAA tournament is not that big. It all depends on where you are. It all depends on your matchup. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you. There is a little bit of an ego involved in wanting that two seed versus the three seed. But I think a lot of people understand that you lost your best player and that you didn't have him for the home stretch of the regular season. And now, at least for the first game of the Big East tournament.
Yeah, but there's a ramp up part of me that's like, okay, he's going to probably be a little rusty when he does get out there, but would you rather have him playing
a little rusty rust now
against a UConn in the finals where it's going to be
UConn's
a dog fight
twice already this year. So
or play him against a lesser opponent, let him play 10 minutes of a game just to get his feet under him, get him ramped up and get
him
going.
That's what I would do. But again, this is all pending the fact that he's healthy enough to get out there. I mean, they're not going to push him out there if he can't go. I guess the official report is, Shaka Smart said Kolick has not been ruled out for the entire Big East tournament, just that he will not play today against Villanova. This has been an exciting season. There's a part of me, though, too, that feels like if you don't make a deep run in the tournament, it was all for naught.
Yeah.
You know, I joked last night when DePaul lost that game after really giving it to Villanova all evening. All that work and what did it get me? Right? Which is that video that's on all social media. I would feel that way about Marquette if they didn't make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I'm able to see the fact that they lost Tyler Kolick for a stretch at the end. I'm able to see that the team is different when he's not out there. But it would still feel very, it would feel very Marquette-esque. You know, like, have a great season, have a great season, regular season, clean up in the Big East, and then not be able to make a deep run.
Would you rather see him be a two in the West or East or a three in the Midwest, where actually some fans could trek down?
Oh, Marquette travels real well. So
even though it would be on East and West?
Marquette fans travel real
well. Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal?
Joshy. Tell us how you really feel. Although, you know, I didn't have money. We talk about that all the time, you know?
That was just, you know, just a little shuttle playful jab. Yeah. That was all that was.
Are you talking NIL here?
No, I'm talking the people typically.
NIL.
I mean, they're a good school.
Look at this face.
Made some money. Great academics.
Chew, you could have made some money off of your face. I mean,
he did, famously. The NFL might have shot it down, but
they sued me.
There was a check there.
I was talking about in college. We were talking about NIL, guys. I don't want to know about the money Chew was making in college, point shaving and stuff. We've been talking about the Green Bay Packers this morning and a little bit of a slow day as far as free agency goes. Will the Packers still make moves? Jason Wilde told us that they might. Might not happen over the next few days, but they might still start to bolster that roster, fill out the roster. And I can't help but feel like Brian Gutekunst has done a hell of a job.
Yeah.
So what's the most important move that he has made to build this roster? It doesn't even have to be this season. Should we take Jordan Love out of the equation? Should we take Jordan Love out of the question? Because it does feel like that is the easy answer.
Well, his biggest move would be getting rid of Aaron, right? And then dumping all that cap money into last year to get rid of it, the dead cap space, and then still going deep into the playoffs. His biggest move was rebuilding the offense in 1 year. 1 year. I mean, to me, that is amazing. He just hit every player, really, that he drafted on offense to now where you don't even have to worry about it. The nice thing, he can go into this draft. I mean, you still need one safety, but the one safety is taken care of. That should be taken care of for 4 years. Shouldn't even have to worry about that position. So now it's on to the next. They need some linebackers. They need more than one. Whether they're going to address that in free agency and go get an older vet that you don't have to quite pay as much, that's just going to be here for a little while and develop these younger kids. I think that'll be more on Halfley because Goody, to me, doesn't seem like he's a big veteran guy.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Based on what?
There's one player over 30 years old on this roster.
Yeah.
That's like not really heard of anymore or at all.
See, we had it back in the day. We had to have veterans to control the locker room. Because the locker room can, at times, in different teams, get out of control. And we had just a great core of veterans, like when we made our run then. But the problem was when Ray came in, the veterans took over and coached the team, and that turned into a disaster. So he's done an unbelievable job. I can't, for the life of me, I can't see how anybody would be unhappy. Maybe the Aaron Rodgers lovers didn't like it, but I mean, they're in good hands for a long time here.
You know what makes me feel good about this Packers team and even moving forward is you don't look anywhere and think you're desperate. There's no desperate need of... There was prior to Xavier McKinney in the free safety position, and you still have holes. You still would like to improve the offensive line. Some would like to improve maybe the cornerback position, but there's nowhere you look and you go, oh, they're going to take advantage of the Packers right here.
It's a weak spot, an Achilles heel.
Right. There is nothing there where anything's glaring, which puts Brian Gutekunst in a spot going into the draft.
Catbird.
Where you can just take whatever you want. You can just get good players. You're not really committed to anyone besides like Xavier McKinney long term and Jordan Love inevitably here in the future. But like you got a couple linemen who you probably want to lock down. But other than that, you have the ability to just keep improving the team. And even if it's a position of strength, why not? Why don't we just get better? There's no like... We just have to fill a hole because we need to put 11 guys on defense or offense.
So is this just going to be a year where it's just RAS? They're going to RAS their way through this sucker?
What's RAS?
Relative athletic score.
Oh, I had no idea.
They love the RAS.
I mean, they always do that, but I think they're like, if there's a guy they love that fits their athletic profile, if it's a wide receiver in the second or third round and they go, we love this guy and think he can be the guy, they're going to take that because like... You're going to put a competitive team on the field regardless as we stand here today. So why not just take luxury picks?
But he's also letting other teams just bleed out.
Yeah.
You know, let them bleed out. San Francisco's starting to bleed, right? Dallas is bleeding pretty bad. They did nothing in free agency. And the Eagles are starting to bleed out too.
So how do you explain people who are still anti-Goody? How do you explain people who look at this roster, who look at the position that they are in? I just mentioned Catbird, which means they're in a very good position right now, and the draft hasn't even started yet. They have famously five picks in the top 91.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you going to say?
They got proven wrong. They were wrong about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
They were wrong about the players that he's drafted that have turned out to be good. I think there's a personal investment because if you look at it objectively... With a team that is now a top 10 Super Bowl odds team, which was not making the playoffs just two seasons ago, and the arrows only pointing up for this team, it's just you were wrong about things and you don't like the way he went about doing it. You're protecting your ego. To me, that's it.
But he could still screw up, though.
Of course.
It still could be a screw up if we get to the point where... You know, Quay Walker is what he is, doesn't get any better. Devontae Wyatt is what he is, doesn't get any better. It's still a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen, but it still could be a possibility where it is a disaster. Not a disaster, but just not good. If it turns out that, hey, Joe Barry Carroll wasn't the problem, it was the players.
But then... Don't you feel like they can still go and fix that?
I'd like to know what all these moves do cap-wise. And you throw Jordan Love into that equation because he's going to sign. We assume he's going to sign in May for a big number. What? Not so much what happens with the cap this year, but where is the cap at in 2 years from now?
Okay, fair enough. I think that one of the things with the cap right now is we still don't have exacts on Xavier McKinney. Isn't that right? That information's
that just
not out
did
there yet?
Come out.
It did.
His structure is fully out there. You can look on SpoTrack where they have a full breakdown. They actually, interestingly enough, I believe they have an out like pretty early in that contract that you wouldn't have thought. I mean, the Packers, the Xavier McKinney thing is not what it looked like when we saw the initial numbers.
Or the Josh Jacobs. Right. I mean, they have outs there. And I think my guess is that Goody learned from Bakhtiari and Rodgers. Because Bakhtiari, even though as great as a player he was, that contract was a disaster. A disaster.
Right. And it wasn't even it wasn't the wrong thing at the time.
No.
You just, injuries happen. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it. But they're paying for it still.
Yeah.
And he's played like a handful of games since he signed that contract.
What did Matt Damon say in Rounders? Always leave yourself out. And he's doing that now.
So,
you know?
Xavier McKinney is basically, he has a potential out next season in 2020 after this season, it would be a $17 million dead cap hit, but his cap hit this year is only 7.8.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not worried about this year, Joshy. I'm worried about when the window is wide open, where are they going to be at cap-wise? And that's why you sent in the text chain you guys sent that they have $18 million left. What should they do? I'm like, part of me says keep it in the kitty a little bit. You got to leave a little in the kitty. Why does he call it a kitty? Any idea?
Speaking of, you guys know that's what happened to my eye, right?
Kitty?
I told you about this. Yeah. What? I told you about what happened to my eye. Yeah, I got this scratch on my eye. It's like here. Wait, hold on. It's here. It's on this side.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's about an inch scratch from my eyeball down my cheek. I don't know if you can see it on the stream. I guess I can face the camera a little bit here. My four-year-old was playing kitty the other day. She goes, I'm a kitty, and scratched the bleep out of my face.
That's the one thing I remember about kids when they're young. Their nails are so sharp.
Daggers.
So sharp.
I'm just glad she didn't get my eyeball, you guys. Like, that would have been, can you imagine I'm walking around with my, I'd have to wear a patch.
Oh, I had to wear a patch when I scratched my cornea, retina. Let's just say
you wore a patch?
Yes. I had to wear it for like 2 days. Yeah.
Also, I didn't, in the text thread, you said, do you usually get your eyes dilated? Which to me, and you know, I've had to do the eye test thing a few times. I didn't think there was an option. I thought you just kind of had to do it. Little did I know you could just say no, thanks.
I say no every time. And they're like, well, just so you know, the doctor won't be able to see the entirety of your eye. And you know, if there's anything happening in the back, of your eye, it will be. And I was like, I go, just so you know, the last time you guys dilated my eye, I couldn't drive. I had to take an Uber home. And then I couldn't pick up my kid from school. Like, it was it ruined the day. It was a total bleep show.
Is that the glaucoma where they shoot air in?
They don't
do
that anymore. Now it's just a little flutter.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I hated that thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just gonna be a little puff of air, and you're like, why did you just throw a cannon in my eyeball? I did get that done yesterday. I have bad eyes. I don't have bad eyes, but I can't see. And you, I'm nervous because I'm getting up there in age that I'm going to need readers soon.
Oh, 43s. That's what they call them in England.
Because when you turn 43,
yes,
you
need reading glasses.
Well, I survived. I don't need readers yet.
Okay.
But they're coming.
Oh, yes.
They're coming.
They're not fun.
Jen, I can't wait to see you looking at your phone and doing the thing where you're holding it out way
like
far.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be a dignified moment for me. What about if I'm on College game day and I forget my lines and I've got my little Cardi card there and I have to be like.
You're just going to need them to put bigger font up for you. You're going to need more.
Is there anything worse than when you're sitting like in an airport or at a restaurant or somewhere where there's public people and you glance over at the person next to you?
and their font is huge.
It's like three letters per screen. They're scrolling over for words. You're going, hey, that's coming, man. I'm not going to sit here and make fun of you because that is coming. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll be right back after this. I want to tell you guys about my favorite place in downtown Milwaukee, Aria, and St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Aria is an acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, and you should make it your spot for your next night out and your next dinner destination. It's on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience. It captivates with its culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. The restaurant transcends tradition and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. So come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary art. Learn more and make reservations at aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women. Like, what do we get?
I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
I have told you guys about the best purchase that I have made recently, but it bears repeating. Good Health Saunas. We have a sauna in our basement now. It's an infrared sauna, and I got it at the State Fair. That's right. They have the Expo Center. I was walking around, saw the sauna display, and I had been thinking about ways that I could improve my longevity, improve my wellness, and all of the things just to feel better as I get older. And the sauna has done the trick, man. My skin feels better. My hair is growing in faster. It's crazy how often I have to go in and get my grays touched up because my hair is growing at a rapid rate. I am sleeping better. Recovery from workouts is smoother. All of this because of my Good Health Sauna. If you are interested in supporting a local company, they're based out of Appleton and out of Waukesha, and getting all those benefits as well, go to that website, goodhealthsaunas.com, goodhealthsaunas.com, to check out their selection of infrared saunas. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Who do you expect to be the Green Bay Packers' top two wide receivers in 2024? I'm saying, good luck keeping Jaden Reed off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be one of those guys where you're going to be creating plays, play design to keep him on the field. So we have Reed and Wicks, Reed and Watson, Watson and Wicks, or other write-in. There's a lot of reaction to this morning. A lot of people are saying, what about Dobbs? Don't forget about Dobbs. Dobbs and Watson. Dobbs and Dobbs. No, Dobbs and Reed. Reed and Dobbs. Chew, what's your gut tell you? That if they're in that 12 personnel, the two wide receivers on the field are going to be...
Reed and Wicks.
I like it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic. Got a lot of upside. Showed a lot last year. Will be great targets for Jordan Love. Keep getting us your votes on that. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.